You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, the book of Proverbs is just a practical book, a book on instruction, a book on the rubber meets the road, on how to live the life, how to live the life of God. Of course, we'd equate that over to Christian life in the New Covenant. It's not just real spiritual, as it were, but it is spiritual. It's very practical. And I think sometimes we miss it because we try to get too spiritual and we don't realize that practical is spiritual. We miss the supernatural because we're looking for the spectacular. We're looking to do great things for God and little opportunities are passing us by every day. Are you out there? And because we didn't hold a big crusade somewhere, we don't encourage our neighbor. Because that doesn't seem to be as big a deal. But it is a big deal. Are you with me?
Amen.
The moral choices we make daily, character choices, integrity choices, they're important. It's important that you live right before God, before your wife, before your husband, before your children, before your grandchildren. Mm-hmm. It's important that the world sees someone who serves God. Come on.
Amen.
We are the church of God. It is the last vestige of hope this world has for morality's sake. There's not another institution that's going to promote morality and holiness and bring people to the Lord. Not going to happen. Hello. The church, we have a job. Are you with me? We're the ground and the pillar of truth. We're here as the body of Christ to point the world to Jesus. Show the world there is a better way. We are a light shining in a dark world. Suffering, sighing, dying humanity. And it starts at home. It's not what's going on in the White House. It's what's going on in your house that makes a difference. I'll tell you what's going to change this nation. What's going to change this nation is not what's going on in the White House. What's going to change this nation is what's going on in your house.
Amen.
What's going to change this nation is you on your knees praying in Jesus' name, praying for this country and living for God and raising your children right.
Amen.
I mean, we need to vote. We need to get involved. And I believe in the process. I do. We must have laws and we must have government. I don't always agree with the government. I don't always agree with the laws. But I wouldn't want to live where there are no laws.
No.
I think it's been said that... I think Blaise Pascal, maybe Francis Bacon, said this: I'd rather live in a land where nothing was legal than in a land where everything was legal.
Yeah.
Now, that having said that, I disagree with a lot of laws, and I think we have too many ones, but you got to have some laws. Laws are good. Commandments are good. Please tell me what I should do. Tell me what's wrong. Tell me what's right. Are you with me? Thank God for highway laws. Thank God for traffic laws. Thank God we know which side of the road to drive on and what speed to go and when to stop and when to go. Without that, this ribbon of highway out here, this asphalt out here, concrete and maybe on the freeway, would be a death trap. But now it's a blessing because we have rules and we know what to do. We know which side to drive and how fast to go, when to stop, when to go. Are you with me? Rules are good. See, laws are good. That's why David said, I love your commandments. Thank God for the commandments of God. Please, would you tell me, how I should live. I want to know how to live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to quit shooting myself in the foot. I want to quit jumping off this cliff. Tell me where the cliff is so I can avoid it. Amen?
Yeah.
So in that respect, laws are good. Some people say, well, I don't like all those do's and don'ts. Well, I'm sorry, but life is filled with do's and don'ts. I mean, that's like saying I'm not going to pay any attention to gravity. I'm just going to jump off the roof. Well, you will hit ground. That's gravity. The sooner you understand that law and work with it, the better it is for you. Laws of electricity, wonderful laws. If you work with them right and hook them up to the right things and the right wires, going to the right poles, and it's a wonderful thing. But you can cut into that wall, break into that wire and grab those wires, and that same wonderful blessing of law, that law of electricity that heats your home and turns the lights on and turns the air conditioner on and lets you see the Mavs on TV. Think of beauty. That same law of electricity will actually kill you if you violate it. So these laws are here to bless you.
Yeah. Amen.
Thy commandments are good. I love thy law. That's what David said. And so this, the writer of Proverbs 4 is telling he starts out and says, hear my children. First verse, we went over the first 9th verses. He's giving them instruction. He says, hear my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. Man, if anything we need instruction.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. Even to say Jesus saves, that's a truth, but that doesn't help anyone until you say, And if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now you've given me instruction. Even to say God loves us, that's true. That's wonderful. But what does that mean to me? How does that help me? How can I get a hold of that? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's a truth. That's a wonderful truth. But he goes on and says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now I got instruction. I've got a truth of God's love. That's knowledge, but now I have wisdom. I know what to do with that knowledge. If I will believe on Jesus, this great love that God loved me with in sending his Son will cause me to be saved and not perish because I believe on him. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. That's instruction. That's wisdom. Knowledge is the accumulation of information. Wisdom is the application of information. And I'll tell you, if anything's lacking in this world, it's wisdom. There's a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge, but they don't know how to apply it. All kinds of information. I mean, we're in an information boom. I mean, in this world, it is amazing how information has exploded in the world. But nobody has any wisdom as to what to do with it. People are educated way beyond their intelligence. Are you with me? And you and I, listen, let's be real honest. Bobby and I were talking about this morning, you know. We're talking about the Bible just right before class, and that's just, I don't know why, sometimes I talk about the Bible, actually. Actually, all the time. But we're talking about, some people say this reason they don't read the Bible, this reason they don't serve God, and so on and so forth. I've heard people say, well, you know, there's so many things in there I don't understand. But you know what? Here's the truth of it. I'm not real concerned about the parts of the Bible I don't understand. I'm very concerned about the ones I do understand. Hello, that I'm doing those. We have lots of knowledge, but we don't have a lot of wisdom. You know enough to be saved. You know enough to change your life. You know enough to make your marriage work. You know enough Scripture. It's just the doing of it that we kind of get hung up on, isn't it? I mean, Christianity has been said has not been found tried and wanting or lacking. It has been found difficult and left untried. So. But the good news is God will empower you. If you'll make the step to do what God says, if you'll follow His instruction, He will help you. He will assist you. That's what's so good. He doesn't say climb the mountain. He says, look, let's climb the mountain. That's what He says. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. Let's climb the mountain. Praise the Lord. So this father is giving instruction to his children. We ought to take heart. Amen. Yes. Talks about the benefits of wisdom. Wisdom, the principal thing. Therefore, in all thy getting, get understanding. Get wisdom. I want wisdom. What do I do now? Okay, I'm married. How do I be a better husband? I've got children. How do I be a better father? I'm a pastor. How do I be a better pastor? How am I supposed to relate? Well, go in the Bible and get the instruction. This is the instruction manual. But it's no good if you don't follow the instructions. You know, men, they don't like following instructions. You ever notice that? The wife is holding that manual in front of the guy. I don't need that. I can figure this out by myself. Honey, where are we? I have no idea, but I'll find out. I'll keep driving. I'm going to go one more mile this way. And the wife's saying, would you just please pull over to filling station and ask somebody? I don't need to ask anybody. I can find my way. I'll know. You know, men don't like instructions. And here we are. We have the instruction manual. Are you with me? We need to read it, amen? And, listen, we need to heed it. A map's no good if you don't follow the instructions. A map won't get you to Dallas. It won't get you to Tyler. It won't get you to Killeen. We've got some people in Killeen. Praise God. Good to have Dale's relatives here. Hallelujah. We love Dale and Cheryl, too. I'll tell you what. We just appreciate them so much. They are such a blessing to this church. Hallelujah. Amen. I appreciate y'all coming. I know you're in for the graduation. But come up from Killeen, some of them from Killeen. A map won't get you to Killeen, but it will tell you how to get there. And you know, you can put this Bible on your head when you go to bed and it won't get in your head. You can lay it on your heart. It won't get in there. But it's available if you'll get into it and open it up and begin to study it. And then get in your car and drive. Okay? I think most of us are wanting the map to drive us. And that's what the word is, a map. It's a menu. You can't eat the menu. You know, you don't go up to the restaurant and say, I'll just have this. No, it's pointing to something else. It's what you order off of. You have to place an order. You might say it this way, you have to place a prayer once you find what is being served in God's kitchen. Hallelujah. And a map's a mirror. I got this message is brought to you by the letter M. The map, the menu, and the mirror of life. The Bible's a mirror in that respect, too. The mirror won't get the dirt off your face, and it won't straighten up your hair. And ladies, it won't put the lipstick and all the other stuff you put on your face. Don't know what all that stuff is, but anyway, whatever it is. It won't do it for you, but it will tell you where you need it. Won't it? No sense in arguing with it. I always love that people talk about, I read that, I don't believe that. That's like looking at the mirror and says, I am not that ugly, no way. Or, my hair is not out of place. I don't believe that. Does anybody get up more and argue with a mirror? I mean, the mirror's there to help you. It's not to, you know, it's not trying to hurt you. It's just trying to help you. But it's to help you fix something, see? Are you with me? And God has given us instruction to fix some things in our lives. He's given us a map to get to these destinations He wants us to arrive at. He's given us a menu so we can order off this menu and get what it is He wants to serve. You don't like what you've been eating? Well, I know a whole new menu right here. You could be eating off this out of this restaurant. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't like what life's been serving you? Well, God has a whole new menu for you, but you have to come in here and you have to place your orders, as it were. You have to pray. You have to look through Him, find out what it is, and choose it. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Hallelujah. So, we went over those 9 verses. Aren't we rolling now? We're just rolling, aren't we? And it goes down to the... In fact, this is interesting, real quick. The first verse says, "Hear, my children." That's the, you know, that's the Hebrew word, or shema, or shama, which means hear and obey. It's the same word in the greatest commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and all thy strength and all thy mind. Hear and obey is what it means, to hear and do. It means to hear and obey. See, the end of all knowledge is action. We're present today. We're here today to hear something to do. To, you know, 2 things you ought to come to church. I say this all the time. I hope you get this. You ought to come to church with these 2 things in mind. Hungry and willing to be changed. You ought to come hungry because you're not going to eat a whole lot if you already ate before you got here. Hello? If you're going to come to God's restaurant, come hungry. Come hungry. And then secondly, be willing to change. Because in every case, I know in my case, I cannot read the Bible without getting some instruction, some good rebuke. Okay, there's good rebuke and there's bad. There's conviction, there's condemnation. God doesn't condemn, but He does convict. He does rebuke. And so I've got to be willing to change when He does rebuke me. I have to be willing to adjust and change and repent of sin if that's the case. If I see in here where I've got a little dirt on my face or my hair is out of place. Amen? I've got to be willing to fix that. And He's telling me what to do here. So when I come to church, I ought to be hungry for God. I hope you come here hungry for God. I really do. My prayer is that we would move you toward God. That move you, because you can get closer. All of us can. And you can be used by Him more. The world is desperately in need of someone who will stand up for Jesus. Amen. The world is crying out for someone who's got conviction, who has morals, who loves the Lord, who stands up for Jesus. Somebody point me the way. Somebody tell me how I can get saved. Somebody. I mean, they're not all antagonistic. I mean, there are some. You're always going to get persecution. Those that live in godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We know that. If they persecuted the master, they'll persecute you. We know that. But there are people genuinely out there that are hungry, and no one's feeding them, you know? I mean, they're out there. They don't have an example to go by. And I think the greatest thing God's got going, and the worst thing God's got going, is the church. Sometimes we're the worst thing He has going. Because of the way we live. And yet, on the other side of that coin, we are the greatest thing God's got going. But here's one thing you need to get ingrained in your thinking. We are the only thing He has going. We are it. We got to get this right. We got to work on this. Are you with me? I got to work on pride. I got to work on unforgiveness. I got to work on these things. I have to, because I am what God is doing in the earth today. The church is it. We're the Christians. We're the believers. We're the body of Christ. Come on. We can't solve everybody else's problem, fix everybody else, but we can fix ourselves. We can repent of our sin, amen, and then God will use us. We'll be vessels worthy of the Master's use.
Amen.
Not going to save everybody, you know, turn everybody's life around, but you'll affect somebody. I'll tell you what, if you go to heaven and you stand before Jesus and one person got saved because of the life you lived. It'll be worth it all. One person.
It'll
be worth it all. And I don't believe it's just one. I believe you affect a lot more than that. But I know there are people that come to Jesus because of the way you live and the stands you make and the love you show. Are you out there? And hey, it's tough. I'm not going to kid you. It takes a real man to live for Jesus and a real woman to stand up for Jesus.
Amen.
Getting quiet in this church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Here. 10th verse. I'm going to get into this in the name of Jesus. I really am. Hear, my son. That's 10th verse. He says, hear, my children. 4th verse. So he's still saying same thing. Shema, hear. And he says over here in the 20th verse, my son, give attention to my words. In other words, we say, listen up. Come on, pay attention here. In the 10th verse, let's start there because we got up to that point. He says, hear my son, the New Living Translation here says, listen to me and do it, or do as I say. Do as I say. I like that. Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Woo! Hallelujah, somebody. There's a benefit right there. I mean, God's not just trying to get you to do certain things because he likes to give orders. He knows these things will extend your life. These things will bless you. God tells you to live right because that's the best way for you to live. He actually, hey, I don't understand it, but he actually loves you. He's crazy about you. He's crazy about all of us. He really does care. He's not just up there giving out rules. Rules, that's why David said, I love thy commandments, because I need some instruction. I just don't know what to do. But God does. God tells me what to do. Lord, what I do in this situation? Lord, this happened, or I heard this news, or this crisis took place, or this tragedy took place. What do you want me to do, Lord? I mean, he's the one that gives us instruction, but we've got to come willing to take that instruction. We've got to come and hear my children, hear my son, and do as I say. Woo! And the years of your life will be many. You know, God wants to extend your life. You know, I'm amazed when you think about it. And you, all around the world, you hear news about people getting killed, shot, stabbed, whatever. You know, and a lot of car wrecks, not all car wrecks, but some car wrecks you'll hear about. And, you know, I've gone to Australia and different places around the world, and they'll say, oh, man, Dallas, we're always hearing about all these killings and shootings and everything. That must be a dangerous place to live in Dallas. And I said, well, I heard the same thing about y'all. Well, I was in, because I say y'all. I said, they say mate, you know, about y'all when I was over there. But that's the stuff that makes the news. And if you ever notice those people get shot and killed, I don't know, they're just minding their own business coming out of a bar at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's a crazy world. I mean, the guy's just coming out of the bar at 2 o'clock in the morning, gets shot, gets stabbed, gets in a fight, gets killed. Wow. Well, you know, if he would follow these instructions, maybe he'd live a little longer.
Amen.
I used to get in a lot of fights. I've had guns pulled out on me before I got saved. I don't ever seem to get in those kind of situations anymore. I can't remember the last time somebody pulled a gun on me and threw me on the ground. Hadn't happened since I got saved. Are you with me? Just following the commandments has extended my life. It really has. And that's what, in one very easy, simple sense, you can see that. But I think in other ways, too. I think you can live longer by honoring God and honoring your parents. That's a promise. The Bible says, you know, honor your parents that you may live long. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, I mean, there's the benefit right there. I mean, if we're talking about instruction, what's the point? What's the purpose? Why should I? Why? Well, here it is. Do you want to live long? Well, he says, follow his instruction. Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. I like that. That speaks two ways to us, that God and the spiritual leaders, as it were, and hopefully parents, should lead us in the right paths. They should, paths of decision making. We're making decisions wisely. We're thinking about it before we do it. before we buy something, we're thinking about, well, we should buy that. Can we pay for it? Little things like finances, marriage. Take time to get to know each other before you get married. Not intimately. Hello. Because that would be sin. But take time to know each other before you get married. Don't meet someone and get married in a week or two or a month. See, that's wisdom. Hello. Those are right paths. But see, I love this part because there's responsibility on the one given that instruction. He said, I have led you in right paths. In other words, I was a pastor. God forbid I'd stand up here and tell you to do things I don't do. You know, that I wouldn't live what I preached. You know, that, or my children, tell my children, I want y'all to live this way. And what I'm doing now is grown-up stuff. You can't do that. Well, a lot of times we say grown-up stuff's just sin. I understand responsibility you can't give to a little child, but some stuff just sin. When you get older, you will understand. Yeah, we'll understand that you're just in sin, you know. And probably get to thinking it's okay because daddy did it. I guess I could do it too. Or mama did it. I guess mom, you know, I can do it too. But no, you lead. See, we're not, I as a pastor don't bring up the rear. I'm a shepherd, not a sheepdog. Sheepdogs bark. Shepherds lead. And that speaks to all of us. That if we're going to help our children, if we're going to help our associates, our acquaintances, our friends, if we want to be a light, then we're going to have to lead. Amen. We have to lead. We can't just say. We got to do also. And so he says, I have led you. I have led you in right paths. I love that. That's chock full of value there. I mean, that's just when you think about the value of good leadership. Good leadership. You know, leaders serve. Leaders don't just give out commands and order. And everybody wants to be a leader and be in charge. But there's a responsibility with being in charge. Everybody thinks they'll have more freedom, but really the higher you're up in authority, the less freedom you really have, because now you become responsible for more people. So your life's not your own. You can't just take off and do whatever you want to. See, I can't just miss church. I need to kind of be here because I'm the pastor. Are you with me? Amen. So if you want to go up, you got to give up. You give up a lot when you decide to be a leader. You give up a lot when you decide to help, to be example, to be a light. But I tell you, the benefits far outweigh what you give up. To see people's lives change, to see your children serve God. Amen. Are you with me? Spend time with them, pray with them, be that example to them, love them. That takes some commitment. You know, some parents don't want to do that. You know, that some children are just inconvenient for them. Are you with me? Because they don't want to give up anything. But I tell you, if you want to be a leader, if you want to be a witness, if you want to be an example, if you want to be a mentor, if you want to help somebody, then you are committed not just to be an authority, you're committed to give up some things. And you have to weigh the cost. You have to weigh the cost and see if it's worth the cost. I believe it is. Amen. It's always worth the cost to serve God. It's always worth the cost to live what we preach and live what we say. We instruct by example. Sometimes we're living our life so loud people can't hear what we're saying. So we need to get our lip and our life lined out. Amen? Yes. Is this helping anybody?
Right here.
Okay. Y'all don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. So he says, I've led them. I have led you in the right path. I've led you. I've gone. I've done this. I've lived this. I have moral authority. I have a right to speak into your lives. I've lived before you. I'm your daddy. That's what he's saying. I'm your father. I have done what I'm telling you to do. See, you need moral authority. Some people don't pay attention to us because we don't live what we preach. And we have no right to say what we say because we don't have the authority to do that. You know, I don't have authority to speak in everybody's lives. I don't know everybody. But as I build a relationship with people, I have more influence and more authority, and so do you. You have more authority when you get to know someone. You can't have too many close friends. Excuse me, I back that up. You can have too many close friends. You can't afford too many close friends. You can only afford just a very few real close friends because you couldn't take that kind of abuse.
Gotcha.
But let me say it another way. You need to hear that from them. You need some close friends that will speak into your life, that know you well enough, that are intimate enough with you to tell you where you're wrong. But you're not going to take that from everybody. Are you with me? And you should. I mean, you should have people that really care. You know they care about you. And so you take what they say to heart because they really mean what they say. Even if they're wrong, you know they love you. You know, Brent and I help each other. I'll take more off Brenda than I would somebody else. Because I fear Brenda. No, no, I'm kidding. I don't fear Brenda. I love Brenda. Are y'all out there? So he's talking about like a father. You know, and then when you come to church, you have a relationship too. You have leadership in the church. I'm a pastor. And, you know, as you get more committed, you know, and I'm not running your lives. I don't tell you what kind of car to buy and house to get and what color clothes to wear. And I might not like a tie you have on. I might tell you that. But that's, you know, who am I? I don't even pick out my own clothes. Brenda picks out my ties and suits and everything. But, you know, you should listen to me as a leader. I mean, are you with me? I'm not perfect. I'll make you mad. You'll make me mad. We'll rub each other wrong. But we deal with it. We just go on. We're family. Are you with me?
Amen.
We don't do it intentionally. We know our hearts. But you should submit to that. Are you with me? We should submit to one another.
Yeah.
I'm constantly submitting to you. You have no idea how much I submit to y'all all the time. I do. I'm constantly submitting to y'all. Thinking about what y'all would need, what you need, what God wants you to have. And I don't just do things because I want to do them. There has to be an end involved. I want it. There's an end, and it's your benefit and your spiritual growth, which includes me.
Right.
Jesus listens to us. He's constantly getting our prayers, constantly hearing all of our little bitty detailed lives. And you know, He yields Himself to us. And yet He is our master. I'm not that. I mean, don't. You know, mess up the analogy, but okay. Is helping anybody?
Yes, sir.
Leadership. See, leaders serve. That's why Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest, be a servant.
Right.
Be a servant. So if I live my life to serve you, you'll follow somebody that's there to help you. If you know they love you and they care about you, you'll listen to them. A lot of times people don't listen to us because we don't really show any love. We're just giving orders. And some people want to be a leader so they can just give orders, but leaders are there to help people and serve people. You know, you're not here to serve me. I'm here to serve you. Now, you should respect the office of a pastor, but I'm here to serve you. That's what I'm here. I'm a gift to you. So I should be thinking about you, not me. What can I get out of this? What can they do for me? Oh, no, I'm here to do something for you. And I have to do it in love, and I have to, you know, you cannot influence and antagonize. You cannot antagonize and influence at the same time. Okay, go chew on that one. You ever done that? Try to beat somebody into submission, just holler at them to get them. Listen, you're not going to influence anybody by antagonizing somebody. You ever notice that we don't ever get up here and just cry and moan and groan and beat people over the head about offerings, about works we have going on around the church, about ministries we have going on, events we have going on? We don't get up here and talk about how no good you are, you hate your mommy, you hate your pop, you've never done a good thing in your life. God bless you, dirty, rotten little hearts. God loves you and I love you. You don't do that. Well, people, you don't give, we're just about to go under. We're going to turn the lights off. I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, this economy is just going down tubes and we're going down with it. What's wrong with y'all? Y'all need to give more money. Did we ever do that? Never will. It's never going to happen. You're not going to hear that happen. We don't take crisis offerings. We don't beat people over the head. Listen, you ought to love the church. You ought to love to give. And if you don't, well, you know, you need to find your church where you do love the church and you love the people. And if the pastor has to beat you every time you come, even a hog will quit coming to slop if you hit him on the head with a 2x4 every time he comes. You ought to come here and get blessed and fed and charged, challenged, changed, yes, rebuked in a good way, in love. Are you with me? But walk out of here better than you walked in. Walked out of here with value. Please tell me I can make it. That's what people are crying out. Please tell me I count. Please tell me that God loves me and He's for me. Please tell me I count in this grand design here that I'm important and that I can be used. Tell me where to go and what to do. Tell me what I'm doing wrong, but love me. Don't hate me. See, that's what people are crying out. And we do need to stand up for what's right, but there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. I need to lead, but there's a wrong way to lead and there's a right way to lead. I need to instruct and I need to bless and encourage, but there's a right way and a wrong way to do that. We don't need to compromise sin. Are you with me? Not going to do it. Not going to do it. But we love the sinner. Y'all out there? The heart, I mean, when you read through this, you see the heart of the writer, the heart of the author here, talking to his son, to his children, and to us. He cares. He desires for us to make it and live long. And we are killing ourselves by the wrong decisions that we're making, the sins that we're committing. And he's saying, oh, come on, please, walk in wisdom and extend your life. Follow me. Let me. You know I've led you in the right path. Don't stray away from that. Stay with it. Stay the course. Stay the course. Amen? Play the man. You get in life, life's going to be full of decisions. As Billy Graham said this, that man at the crossroads, life is man at the crossroads. No question. You stand at crossroads every day of your life. Little decisions to do wrong or do right, to compromise or not, to love or to hate, to criticize or praise, yeah. Serve God or not. Mm-hmm. All I know is for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. Amen. So he says this. When you walk, 12th verse, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. See, if you'll serve God and you'll take His instruction, He'll help you day by day. 13th verse, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Man, I need instruction. Thank God for church. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God, you know, for friends and people that I can pray with, that I can counsel with and talk with, and multitudes of counselors, there is safety, the Bible says. I need that. My life is determined by instruction. You know, and as I yield to that instruction, do what God says, then my life gets better. Hallelujah. So, keep her, for she is your life. Instruction and wisdom. Now think about it. Wisdom is using knowledge. It's the ability to use knowledge. You can take in knowledge and just take in facts and quote scriptures and quote facts, but now going out and doing it, that's wisdom. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7? He said, a foolish man I liken to a man who heard my sayings and did not do them. He was foolish because he didn't do. Isn't that right? And he said, the winds came and the rains came and the waves beat on that house and that house fell and great was the fall of it. Wise man, I liken him to a man that heard my sayings and did them. Isn't that right? So wisdom is doing. Wisdom is practical and practicing the Word. It's doing what God says. It's actually going out and praying for people. It's actually loving people. It's actually living holy and committing our lives to these things He says. Commitment. There's something you don't hear a lot about in life today. I mean, we got all kinds of contracts people sign when they go into kind of business deal. And you know what? It doesn't mean a thing. How many athletes you know have contracts and next thing you know, they're playing for another team? Signed a 5-year contract. What does that mean? Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean a thing. Get all these lawyers, drop all these papers, contracts. Commitments don't mean anything. Listen, it's got to mean something someday, sometime in our life. Sometime we've got to say, okay, this is it. I'm done. Now, I'm not talking about, forget the past. You can't live in the past. I'm not pointing any fingers. I got no stones to throw. I'm talking about even yesterday. I don't care. Yesterday's over. This is a new day. Today we ought to commit. We're going to serve God and we're going to do what He says. Hallelujah. And we're going to commit to this thing. Only what you commit to works for you. Diet books don't work unless you commit to them. Exercise books will not get you in shape unless you commit to them. There's a lot of good exercise books. A lot of good diet books are you out there. A lot of good financial books on budgeting and so on and so forth, but they don't work if you don't do them. You can go into a gym and they can lay that weight on your chest. I love that, thinking about that. I go to a gym here every day. They lay that weight on my chest about 30 minutes and they come pick it up and put it back on the rack. I don't know what's wrong. I'm not getting any stronger. And I got this dent in my chest. I don't understand. Well, you never pushed against it. You never did anything. You were there, but you didn't do anything. Man, I went to that restaurant and I just laid that diet book right there on the table. And I ordered me 2 pieces of coconut pie. And I read the book all the way through lunch. I read it while I was eating that coconut pie. And I've gained 10 pounds. I don't know what the deal is. Diet book doesn't work. Well, no, you didn't commit to it, see. You commit to it. You can quote me all the principles. You can tell me all the chapters. But you didn't do it, see. And I've been there. How many of you have been there? Come on. So what he's saying here is let's commit to this. Then obviously it'll be our life. He tells us some things to do. He tells us things not to do. Yeah. And the 14th verse, y'all give me just a few more minutes here. I won't keep you long. 2 minutes maybe. Let me read through here. I want to get down to the 18th verse if I can. You have no faith in me. I can tell. No, I can tell. You do not believe I'm going to be able to do that. Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you, let me read one verse, okay? Can I do that? I'll do one verse. We'll pick this up next Sunday. Is this helping you? You know I love you. I mean, come on. Goodness. What I say to you, I'm saying to me. I need to do these things myself. But we have got to commit to the Word. We got to commit to what God says. And it's not going to work. We can blame God. We can say, well, why did God let that happen? Well, a lot of times, you know, we just didn't do what we're supposed to do. Now, I know we live in a broken, fallen world, and some things happen you have no control over. But I think there's a lot that happens in our life is like that old Pogo cartoon when he came out of the swamp and he says, we have found the enemy, he is us. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. And he's trying to help us get out of that, change that, turn that around. You can't change everybody, but you can change yourself. You can't fix everybody, but you can fix yourself with the Word. And ultimately, God's doing the fixing. He's changing, but you've got to commit and submit. So he says this, 14 verse, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Well, there's wisdom. Don't even go there. Hello? That's not even deep. That's not complicated. Don't go do wicked things. Don't walk in a path of evil. Everybody say path. See, because the things that you do are paths that you're walking on. Paths lead places. And sin will always take you further than you want to go. But loving people and praying for people and forgiving people and living holy will take you down a road that you definitely want to go down. That's a path. So words and deeds are paths that I'm walking on. Yeah. So you think, well, I just did that. Well, no, you just stepped in that direction. That's what you did. Mm-hmm. No great minister that fell, and we've heard lots of them over the years, no great minister that fell got up one morning and did what they got caught doing. Yeah. They got on a path that took them in that direction.
Right.
Little by little, step by step, they knew they were wrong. They went ahead and did it. Before long, they did a little more wrong. Before long, they thought, I'm sure they woke up one morning and said, how did I get here? Well, I know exactly how you got there. You made the little compromises that you weren't supposed to make because you paid no attention to small things. You fell for big things. We have got to pay attention to the small things, the little things in life. We think about great things, but listen, it's the little things that make us. And that's why the Bible's so full of instruction and says these things are paths that we need to watch the path that we're on. It takes a while. Listen, you may be a far away from where you're supposed to be. I know I got a long ways to go. But I'm never going to get there if I don't get on the road. If you got a fence, you got a mile of fence to build, I'll tell you how you do it, one post at a time. And I always say this, if you got 100 coyotes attacking, you shoot the one on the front porch first. Then take the next one. Amen.